This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. In his new exhibition, local artist G. Horton explores his inner child through mediums that include photography, drawings, and family archives. He welcomes you into his home, creating a safe space that fosters conversations around Blackness, identity, mental health, and the power of healing. G. Horton, Chapter 2, A Subtle Farewell to the Inner Child, runs through November 2nd at the Kennedy Heights Arts Center. G. Horton joins me now, along with author and heritage and healing practitioner with Diasporic Soul, Phyllis Jeffers Coley. Thank you so much for being here, G and Phyllis.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you here. G, we're here to talk about your new exhibition. As I mentioned, it's called G. Horton, Chapter 2, A Subtle Farewell to the Inner Child. What do you mean by a subtle farewell? Where does that come from?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, the way I see this exhibition through my lens, it is truly a walking meditation. And within this walking meditation, I'm holding hands with the viewers as they get an opportunity to experience this work. And through this walking meditation, there's this subtle disruption that they feel as the subject separates from the inner child and transitions into adulthood. And so that's primarily what I mean with a subtle farewell to the inner child, because it's a subtle disruption for some of us.
Talk about some of the art people see when they visit this exhibition, and also how your work investigates the ideas of manhood and the human spirit.
Yeah, so with this exhibition being a part of Photo Focus's Bienal, 2024 Bienal, a lot of this work is really centered around photography, whereas my primary medium focuses on charcoal drawings, hyperrealism, primarily with a pencil, sometimes a paintbrush. But with this exhibition, it is primarily centered around photography. And so one of the questions I'm asking myself and also the viewers, how my work has an intimate conversation with photography. And so in this show, you see a wide range of photography from archive photo images of family members and friends. You also see there's a room that's dedicated to cyanotypes, which is a form of photography that allows negative images to be exposed to light, which converts them into a positive image. You also see a short film, and then there's also some drawings as well. So it's a wide range of different mediums that are associated to photography within this exhibition.
And you also explore the power of healing. How and why did that become an important focus for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. Honestly, when I was thinking of this exhibition or conceptualizing on what I want the show to feel like, healing wasn't at the forefront of it. I think what happened by way of me doing my own healing and self-discovery in association with Phyllis Jeffers Coley's and the work with Diasporic Soul, it was a theme that just kind of just unveiled itself. And so what I like to say as it relates to feeling, there's a level of vulnerability that exists in this show. And through that, you will see a form of healing. That's the best way I can describe that.
Well, Phyllis, I want to talk to you about healing because there's a mental health crisis in the Black community. Suicide rates have increased at an alarming rate for Black boys and men. I should mention that if you are listening and you're in crisis, you should call 988, the national helpline. But what are some of the resources locally that are helping Black men in particular heal?
Well, specifically in terms of what G and I are collaborating on, the resources, the Peace of Mind Project. The suicide rate for African-American or Black men and boys has actually been increasing since the 90s. It's not new. The coverage and attention to it is new. But there's an album by Kendrick Lamar that dropped for my hip hop heads in the audience that dropped in December, fall 2022. Mm-hmm. And G and I had done a series of retreats at the Art Museum and with Cincinnati Rec and Hamilton County Parks called Black Dope and All Good Communal Healing Retreats for Black Men. And at the same time, Kendrick Lamar is saying, I've been going through something. And the opening salvo is, I hope you find peace of mind in this lifetime. So Black men are not necessarily all experiencing suicide, depression, and anxiety or other issues with mental health, but they're all experiencing some level of stress. And if you think about where we've been in the last 5 years in particular, albeit not exclusively, there is the impact of anti-Black racism and white supremacy on the Black spirit, the Black mind, the Black body. And so the work that I've been doing is related to racial trauma and how it impacts us in particular. And so the Peace of Mind Project offers cultural and contemplative practices to foster well-being, healing, and restoration for Black folks. And the Peace of Mind Project is specifically for men, and the larger body of work of Diaspora Soul is for Black folks more broadly.
We're talking about a new exhibition that explores the transformative power of healing. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or by emailing talk@wvxu.org. Phyllis, you were talking about the Peace of Mind Project. Tell us a little bit more about how that project equips Black men in particular with what they need to heal and restore themselves.
Okay. So in our so the Peace of Mind Project, as we've designed it, is a 4-session series. And in each session, we practice community. We are intentional about facilitating spaces where men can connect to each other and deepen their sense of belonging. Because one of the other sort of crises in our country is social isolation and loneliness. So facilitating ways for men to engage each other. I am a certified yoga teacher. I was trained at World Peace Yoga in Clifton. Shout out to World Peace Yoga. And I am yoga in Charlotte. So men are introduced to restorative yoga in particular. They all get a set of restorative equipment to take home. People who know me know I can go on long about why restorative yoga. I speak to it in my book, We Got Soul, We Can Heal. It's a reflection of some of the thinking of Dr. Gail Parker. And there are other contemplative practices that I integrate with cultural practices so that men can shift how they see themselves as Black people, because some of our pain, some of the wounding is tied to sort of seeing ourselves in a way that's not really real because of the way the system has worked. But also in terms of what G named, there is space to also reconsider not only identity as it relates to race or culture, but also identity as it relates to masculinity. So in this space, I can cry, I can get a hug, I can get reassurance, I can get a lead on a new job from the other brothers in the program. So all of that is a part of it, the Chebu Jenning or the community building, the ritual, the yoga practice, the journaling, the engagement with art, the engagement with nature. Mm-hmm. All of those are the pieces that are part of the program.
Yeah. G, how was that weighing on your mind and on your heart as you were creating this exhibition? What aspects of healing do you feel like your exhibition really reflects?
Oh, wow. I mean, there's a wide spectrum of healing that exists in this space. I think particularly there's so many different levels of conversations that's been happening, or that has happened leading up to the birth of this exhibition, particularly going back to some of the aspects of what Phyllis has just named. What I wanted to do with this show is I wanted to invite other voices to participate in displaying what Black masculinity may look and feel like and show up in all of its many different forms. And so within the show, I spent time with 6 of my good friends, close friends, who so happen to be Black males around the same age as I. We all share in common the fact that we're in our late 30s, early 40s. We're all fathers. We all are heads of our household and trying to maintain some sense of ownership, some sense of self-pride and self-worth. And so I felt it was a need to kind of invite some of those voices into the conversation. And what we did within this exhibition is I sat down with each one of those guys, and I ask questions that normally they don't get to respond to.
Like what kind of questions?
For example, when did you become a man? Mm-hmm. Which is a question that, you know, if I were to sit sit down and ask anyone, it would provoke a sense of reflection and allow space for one to reflect back on that transition. That was a central question. Another question that I wanted to kind of dive into was this idea of belonging. Mm-hmm. Who do you belong to? And so one of the questions I asked was, where's your mama's mama from? Where do they come from? And so as we wrap around like this, as we wrap our heads around this understanding of belonging, we have to ask, like, who do we belong to? Where do we come from? And so from that dialogue, I had, you know, two to three hour conversations with these individuals. And I recorded those conversations. And as a result of that, I've created pieces in response to those conversations, which show up in the form of collaging. And what I love about collaging, it allows one to take different pieces of information and create one central story. And that's what I felt like a lot of the conversation was. That's what I felt like the process of creating work in response to the stories that I was learning from these individuals. And so it was just a perfect blend of conversation and art making in the process. And you'll see that as you're experiencing the show, and you'll see the vulnerability as well as like what healing can do as by way of doing that.
Can I add
please
something?
Do.
I'd say there is an explicit articulation in the set of questions around a rupture or a wounding, because for many brothers, manhood comes too soon. It becomes an imposition of society and the sort of the adulting of black children, male and female, and in this case, particularly men. So there is this rupture that creates a wound, but there's also reconciliation in the work. And I would also, I don't want to give the show away, but there is this rupture and reconciliation that's articulated and set up in the exhibition. And I would also say that G's experience dating back before Senegal, but also including Senegal, facilitated a conversation about his own reconciliation and rupture. We had been in conversation about the rupture, but the trip opened up a door for reconciliation. So there is this healing of a familial wound that is reflected in the pieces and in the overall exhibition itself. That's really powerful.
Do you tell us about that trip and how it kind of inspired or informed your work in this exhibit?
Absolutely. So Phyllis and I, we've been knowing each other since 2018. And since I was first introduced to her, she's been trying to get me to come to Senegal. For whatever reason, I never had an opportunity to do so, but it was at the top of my list. And it didn't happen until 2022, the summer of 2022. I think it was July, in fact. Mm-hmm. I had an opportunity to actually be a participant of the Diasporic Soul cohort. And I was lucky to be in Senegal by myself. Usually when she invites folks to come over and have their heritage and healing experience, there's typically a group. And I was fortunate to be in Senegal by myself. And what happened from that is I had so many eyeballs and so many individuals wrapped around me at that moment. And so what changed and what shifted for me was a lot as a father, as a brother, as a husband. I'm carrying a lot. And for the first time in a long time, I had an opportunity to actually do anything, do nothing. I was able to rest. I was able to not worry about, you know, how this was going to get taken care of, all of the responsibilities that come with this role that I'm in here. And so just the opportunity to do that, to rest and to breathe, was really transformative. Some of the stories, the individuals that I met during my Senegal experience really transformed me. And so much, Phyllis is looking at me like, she, you want to add to that? there was so much that I experienced during that trip that transformed not just me, but the way that I saw my role as an artist, and I wanted to embody that into my next display of work, and I felt like I did that.
You looking at me to add?
Yeah, I want you to.
I'm trying not to cry.
Go ahead.
I would say there is an audio component when he names this meditation or this walking meditation that is the exhibition. There is a component in the audio tour that names a divination, a spiritual reading that my mother-in-law performed for him. And I would say that was a major point for him in his shift in how he saw himself. And there are other aspects of ritual and culture that supported him. His rest was not in consisting of being in a retreat space, simply laying in bed, but it was very active rest mm-hmm. and ritual for him.
Yeah.
I won't give any more away.
Okay. You have to see some of it in
yeah.
the show.
Yeah, it is in the show. Definitely.
Phyllis, we were talking about how much weighs on Black men and boys, but let's focus on Black men. What do you think gets in the way of some Black men seeking out the help they need to heal?
Well, there are some systemic barriers. It is hard to find a therapist that is culturally responsive. In fact, I just had a conversation with my dad last night about his second therapist that he's walking away from because who at 75, and my dad has been in AA and 12-step all of my life, so he's not averse to therapy as a modality or cognitive-based talk therapy as a modality. In fact, he's done it multiple times as well as being part of the recovery community that's tethered to AA. So even for Black men who are open to a traditional Western-style therapy intervention, it is difficult to find a therapist who can relate to them. And I mean Black men from all walks of life. We're not talking about income level. We're not talking about poverty. We're not talking about under-resourced. We're saying a brother who makes six figures has a hard time finding someone who he can pay to provide counseling and support. There are some stigmas, but I would offer you can see a major shift in the culture. You can see hip-hop artists like Killer Mike, Toby and Wugu, excuse me if I'm saying his name wrong, Robert Glasper, Andre 3000, Common, who have named the need to heal and find support. But the cognitive-based therapy is often inaccessible, and it's often not enough because it doesn't consider. So Somme, the author of The Healing Wisdom of Africa, and others like Alice Walker from the literary realm, they remind us that we need community, and cognitive-based therapy doesn't integrate community. They say we need spirit and ritual. There are some therapists that consider faith and spirituality, but many from the Western training, it's the neck up. The West is about the mind. And the rest of the world wants to bring in spirit and body. And so those are some of the blockages because we have not consistently met Black men in particular with that. And then there's some notions about, I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to cry that are tethered to masculinity. So there's some pieces that are cultural as it relates to identity and culture. And there are some pieces that are tied to notions of masculinity.
Yeah. G. Phyllis just mentioned her father, and your exhibition includes a film that features your father and mm-hmm. centers on your relationship with him. Why was it important for you to include that?
Yeah, you know, when we talk about the rupture in this exhibition, particularly, there's a rupture that happens where you feel that transitioning from, you know, youthfulness to adulthood. And I named that very, very clearly in the exhibition. But I thought that this short film was a perfect resolution to that. And so as you experience the short film, you enter the space and it feels warm. I was very thoughtful and mindful of how I wanted the exhibition to feel. And so there's a warmth that you feel when you enter the space. And as you navigate through the exhibition, you feel this rupture. And as you transition from that space into the short film, you are greet it with a sense of resolution that involves, like you mentioned, a short film that touches on the relationship between my father and I. And that's where a lot of the vulnerability exists within my own personal journey. And I think what's beautiful is just from seeing the responses from folks from the opening to this past weekend, I'm seeing a lot of people have an emotional connection in response to that, because I think not only my personal story connects to more of a larger narrative around what it means to have an open heart and to forgive someone. And so I think I touch on those themes in a very subtle way.
Yeah. What do you hope your work in this exhibition will encourage? Do you hope it'll encourage more conversations about healing, more of that work?
Definitely. When creating this work, I wanted to, I'm always mindful. Well, recently, I'm starting to realize how I want to create an intimate conversation with the viewer. And so in this particular body of work, the way I talked to Felix about it, it says I'm creating a work and I want the viewer to walk through the exhibition as if I'm holding their hand.
That's beautiful.
And that's the approach that I want people to feel.
Well, I've been talking with artist G. Horton, an author and heritage and healing practitioner with Diasporic Soul, Phyllis Jeffers Coley. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us. It's been great.
G's new exhibition, G. Horton, Chapter 2, A Subtle Farewell to the Inner Child, runs through November 2nd at the Kennedy Heights Arts Center. You can find a link with more information on our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director today is Ella Rowan. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.